My name is Nicole Braun, and you're listening to The Woo Woo Report, a weekly podcast where we celebrate the woo woo lifestyle and dig deeper to get our mystical questions answered. It's officially spooky season. That is not a good intro song, but that's okay. Maybe by the last episode of spooky season, I'll have prepared something a little more haunting. It is spooky season, which is my favorite season. The veil is always thinnest during October. I've been talking about that on my personal Instagram a lot lately. If you are not familiar with me and you're new to the podcast, my name is Nicole, and I am an oracle reader, but specifically, I do clairvoyant channeling prior to my oracle readings. And I pretty much let any spirit guides or ancestors or angels come through. But since it is October and the veil is so thin, most of my recent readings have really had the main focus has been family members that have crossed over, or friends, and not like ones that, you know, from long time ago, but recent, like either they knew who they were immediately, or it was someone their parents knew, stuff like that. So, or, you know, closer to the parents, maybe grandparents, and that, you know, that passed away when the client was younger, that sort of thing. But the veil is always the thinnest. And so I thought it would be cool on this episode to talk a little bit about the history of Halloween and then talk about why the veil is so thin right now. And then I have a ghost story that one of my listeners sent in that I'm going to read for them. And I'm really excited about it. So going into this episode, this is a lot of history that, you know, some of it I was familiar with, some of it I wasn't, just sort of getting into a brief history of the Halloween. I feel like there's a lot of information, but I just wanted to talk about it a little bit. And so to start off, we all know, well, I would hope that we all know that October 31st is All Hallows' Eve and originated with an ancient Celtic festival called Samhain. And I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. I've looked this up many a times to make sure it's pronounced to sound like S-A-A-W-N, but to spell it is it's S-A-M-H-A-I-N. And I am the worst at pronouncing things, so don't hold it against me. But it did start as an ancient Celtic festival. It's when people would light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. And then in the 18th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as a time to honor All Saints, and that became All Saints Day, and it became incorporated with the original traditions. So then that evening before was known as All Hallows Eve, and then later Halloween. So over time, Halloween has evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating and carving jack-o'-lanterns and costumes and candy, a bunch of other cool, spooky stuff and really commercialized stuff. But, you know, it's the world we live in. Celtic times, this is 2,000 years ago, and this is an area that is now Ireland. And the day marked the end of summer and the harvest and the beginning of the dark, cold winter. And that was a time that was often associated with human death. Super, super cool, right? All right. So the Celts believed that on the night before the new year, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead became really blurred. And that comes into when we talk about the veil being the thinnest and the veil thinning, when we refer to, or myself and other spirits I know refer to the veil, we just mean that veil between the human physical world that we're in right now and then the spiritual world. So there is a lot more clear communication energy-wise. And because this is my personal belief, because so many people are celebrating, whether intentional with it or not, because we are celebrating, you know, ghosts and spirits and, you know, the Day of the Dead or our loved ones passing away.
and just a lot of spiritual stuff that we normally don't, well, I do, but I would say that the most people that aren't deep into this sort of stuff celebrate and support, it causes this huge energy shift. And I'm a real big believer in energy shifts. And because of this energy shift, it allows the other energies to come forward. And I don't like, it's the only way to explain it, like feed off of us. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, you know, like we talk about water helping create energy for spirit and that sort of thing. It's the same thing. It just causes an energy shift, kind of gives it this fun little surge of energy so that there's more communication with people who've crossed over and spirits and that sort of thing. And our spirits that are here in actual human flesh form in our lovely meat suits, dressed up as sexy cheerleaders and, you know, those inflatable T-Rex dinosaur outfits. You know, what better way to to connect with those that have passed than to, you know, do a little fun costume party. The Celts believe that on the night of October 31st, that ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. In addition to causing trouble and damaging crops, Celts thought that the presence of the otherworldly spirits made it easier for the druids or Celtic priests to make predictions about the future. These prophecies were an important source of comfort and direction during the long, dark winter. I'm going to get off track here a little bit and talk about what people like mediums and psychic mediums and clairvoyants and all of that. There is, at least personally, I've noticed there's a lot more communication during the dark winters and a lot more people looking for answers. And I believe that a lot of spirits, even after October 31st, will hang around for a while. It's darker, longer during the day, at least, you know, where I am. And I just noticed that there is a lot more predictions, even on some psychics that I follow. They have a lot of really crazy vivid dream predictions and that sort of thing during that time. It's also, Hallows Eve is Scorpio season, and Scorpio represents life and death. So that's there too. Okay, so I'm going to fast forward through some history because it's a lot, but I'm going to talk about, I'm located in America and I believe a majority of my listeners are. So I wanted to focus on Halloween and its, you know, how it came to America and how we celebrate it and that sort of thing. So the celebration of Halloween was extremely limited to the colonial New England because of the Protestant belief system there. Halloween was more common in Maryland and the other southern colonies. As the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups and the American Indians, Native Americans meshed. Okay, rewind that. As the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups and Native Americans meshed, a distinct American version of Halloween began to emerge. So the first celebrations included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. Colonial Halloween festivities also featured the telling of ghost stories and all that fun, spooky stuff. Then by the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivities were common, but Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country. In the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. These immigrants, especially the millions of Irish fleeing the Irish potato famine, helped to popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. So this is going back to, you know, the original Celtic tradition of it. So borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go to house asking for food or money. And this practice eventually became known as today's trick or treating. Young women believed that on Halloween, they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple parings, and mirrors. Young women believed that on Halloween, they could divine the name or appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple parings, or mirrors. In the late 1800s, there was a move to America to mold Halloween into a holiday more about community and get-togethers than about ghosts and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. These parties focused on games, foods of the season, and festive costumes. Parents were encouraged by newspapers and community leaders to take anything frightening out of Halloween celebrations. Because of these efforts, Halloween lost most of its superstitious and religious overtones by the beginning of the 20th century. So here we are today. You know, we live in a really commercialized society. And don't get me wrong, I love all the Halloween decor. I love dressing up and all sorts of that things. But I do think it's important to remember that this did start thousands of years ago in what we know now as Ireland. And it started, if you're not familiar with Celtic history and that sort of thing, they're total badasses. And I'm really proud to say that that's half of my heritage and my roots is Celtic roots. So there's a lot of amazing history there. And I really think it's worth looking into if you're interested. Maybe eventually I can do an episode with an expert. Celtic witch is who I would consult for that because I'm not an expert, but there are a lot of amazing Celtic witches out there that have a lot of information on it. But I do think it's important to remember, you know, whether you're religious or not, or spiritual, and maybe you just don't have Celtic roots or don't focus on it for that reason. There is a lot of people, ancestral history that goes into this tradition and this thing that started in a whole different way. And we've really adapted it to a different way here in America. And it's not to say I don't love it, and I will be going trick-or-treating with my son. By the way, he's going to dress up as a T-Rex dinosaur. I don't know what I'm going to be yet. I might be lazy and just go as a witch and wear my cloak. I think it's really nice to take some time and reflect on where it started and just also how far it's come, because that's a really long time for a tradition to travel, and especially to come over here to the States. And, you know, we had the witch trials, and it really could have, that got incorporated with Halloween a lot. So really could have lost Halloween. I could have seen just falling away because of the way that our country is run, but it didn't. So yay. So I'm thankful that it's here. And I think it's nice to look at where it started. If you hear any crazy noises, it's spooky weather here in Portland right now. It's windy and it's rainy and some stuff is flying into my window. So this information is, I like to source other people that I think explain things a little bit better than I can. I tend to go off on tangents. So this is sourced by Tess Whitehurst, and her website is tesswhitehurst.com. I will link it in the show notes. And she had a really great post about why is the veil between the worlds, or what is the veil between the worlds and why is it thin? So the veil between the worlds is thin, and here's what the saying means. She explained it as, she says that we naturally feel drawn to certain themes at this time of year. Death, which is part of the Scorpio, and, you know, for myself, Day of the Dead. And that's some of my other roots there. Got a lot of different roots and a lot of different history here, y'all. But there's death, black cats, magic, and witchcraft. So she explains that the veil is thin at this time because the days are getting shorter and the natural world is preparing to temporarily withdraw from the realm of life and growth. She writes, the harvest cycle is waning, but it's not gone. This means a doorway between the season of life and the season of death. Beneath this realm of constant change, there is a wide open space of eternity, a place of stillness in which the appearance of change arises, a serene openness to which we will always return and to with which we are one, even at this very moment. So I think it's really interesting to think about the door between the season of life and the season of death. There's a lot of beauty in death. I know that it's people die in hard ways, and I've lost a lot of loved ones so far in my time on this earth. And it's not to say that death is easy to understand fully or to accept, but there is a movement, I believe, coming around death and how to process it a little bit more. And, you know, a lot of more evidence is coming forward with life after death and reincarnation and those things. So I think also when we're stuck in darker weather, we do tend to withdraw and go inside more. You know, summer is over, so those long sunny days, we're not as distracted. And if you have rainy or snowy weather, like we have here in Oregon, you spend a lot of times indoors. And so there's a lot of self-reflection and it can be a lot of reading or just thinking or meditating. But you're kind of confined to your own little space and your own little world. And so I think it's a lot of reflection of looking back on your own life and what that you're doing with your life and, you know, coming to terms with death in a very calming way. And, you know, we see all the stuff, plants around us dying and that sort of thing. But there's that hope too. You know, we have that hope, you know, spring's going to come soon and there's going to be flowers and there's going to be more sunshine and not as much darkness. But I think Halloween's kind of this really crazy, huge energy party that marks that shift into the darker times. So I believe the veil is really thin because of that and because of the energy we hold. And I think it's something we can all really use. And, you know, most everyone I know has someone that's passed away that's really close to us. And even if you don't consider yourself a clairvoyant or a medium or someone who does that, you know, if you're comfortable with it, I always say to around this time of year, you can just ask for signs, you know, talk aloud to your loved ones and just ask them for a sign. You know, I tell clients whenever they ask about signs, like, what should I ask for? I would say, well, you know, if like you live in Arizona, don't ask for a dolphin. Like, ask for a sign. Like, you're not going to see a dolphin like flapping down your street. So ask for a sign that a spirit can obtain a little bit more easily. So I think animal signs are great, or songs, or, you know, a lot of people tend to have the thing with pennies on the street. For me, a sign for a really long time was from my mother, was a song that I listened to a lot when she passed away. And then a lot of my other spiritual signs have been butterflies. And now, I've asked for new signs because I know that the butterflies aren't around as much. So think of a sign that you can ask for, whether it's like a song or feathers or an animal or pennies on the floor, just something that you can get communication from spirit. Because I think once we let the spirits of those that have passed away know that we do want to hear from them, they feel more comfortable in reaching out to us. And if they do it in a scary way that you're not comfortable with, you can also speak aloud to them and just say like, yo, thanks for saying hi and checking in. I miss you a lot. That scared the shit out of me. Please don't do that again. Let's try this instead. Like, you just put it out there into the world what you want from spirits and from anyone that's passed away, how you would like to communicate with them. Make sure you're also being really safe about it. You can always DM me on Instagram about how to like protect your energy correctly. And some tips and tricks that I use for that, I link in the show notes. It's Nicole, B-U-R-R-O-N. So you can find me on Instagram and you can just send me a DM for any questions that you have about connecting with spirits and spirit guides and all that fun stuff. I'm so happy to help because I do believe everyone, you know, has this ability. It just depends on how you want to channel it. And everyone's abilities are a little bit different. Like, some things come through clear in different areas, but, you know, I do believe everyone does have an ability to connect with their spirit guides, their loved ones that have passed away. It's just, you have to start somewhere and it's baby steps. You know, I've been on this journey for a little bit now and it gets stronger every day. So if you want to start on that journey, you can DM me and I'm happy to share some tips with you. And then, you know, some things you can do on Halloween for connecting with spirit, since that's when the veil will be the thinnest. Okay, let's get into a ghost story. All right, I'm so thankful that one of my listeners decided to share their story. This is Florence. Florence wrote me, and I'm just going to read it. It's like, you know, from their perspective. And Florence writes, "This summer, I went on Reunion Island to visit my best friend. We went hiking in the mountains for 3 days. It is a very high mountain with ravines and everything like that. You can't look too far down or you'll get dizzy and fall. At least that's how I felt. The night we arrived at our camping spot and installed our tent and gear in the woods. We spent moments by the fire, eating marshmallows and stuff. It was a perfect night. After that, I decided to go inside our tent to read a book alone. I couldn't concentrate. Every line I read immediately slipped from my mind, and I was forced to stay on the same page for what seemed like ages. I tried to concentrate and I closed my eyes. I saw a young blonde woman falling from the mountain road right in front of me. I opened my eyes. It happens sometimes to me, seeing things very clearly when I close my eyes. But this was scary. My chest was feeling really tight and I was suddenly very stressed. I closed my eyes again and I saw the exact same thing again and again. I didn't know what it was. I just figured I must have channeled something, but I didn't want to pay too much more attention to it because it was nighttime and we were alone in the middle of the woods. There was no time to be scared. 2 days later, when we came home, after showering and putting our clothes in the wash, I sat with my friend for a comforting meal. We shared our experience about the hike. It was a very difficult time for me emotionally, and it felt amazing to push my limits like this. At one point during our conversation, I felt like sharing what happened to me with her. She thought it was really strange and wanted to check on the internet if something had happened a few days before our hike. We were laughing, saying stuff like, "Oh, imagine if something happened. Ha, that would be spooky." And something actually had happened a few days before our hike. A young blonde woman was hiking with her friends when she slipped on rocks and fell down the mountain. She died, crushing her head against the rocks. We stopped laughing immediately. My whole body had goosebumps. We gathered a few candles and prayed for her soul to be released so that she could accept her death and be free. That story comes from Florence in France. With that, I'd love to take a couple minutes to just focus on helping that soul, that young woman who fell from the mountain, to cross over if she happens to be over here at all, and send some love and light to her families and loved ones that I'm sure are still grieving her loss immensely. All right. Well, that is the first episode of Spooky Season. This was like my technical episode, just kind of talking about a little history and facts and blah, blah, blah. So the next ones are going to be all the spooky goodness. I hope this gets you excited for more episodes to come with ghost stories and some other haunted goodies coming your way. If you don't follow me on Instagram, definitely give me a follow. I'm posting lots of spooky content, and I'm sharing some of my ghost stories as well of a haunted ranch that I lived in Las Vegas. See you all on the gram. Get a bonus episode of The Woo Woo Report featuring ghost stories from my own personal experiences, and custom moon phase ritual PDF downloads sent directly to your inbox every month. Check out the show notes to visit our Patreon page for more details and help keep the Woo Woo Report on the air. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Woo Woo Report. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Nicole Baron, NicoleBurron, to stay up to date on everything woo-woo.